Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 590. My voice cracked. 594. I am Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. My voice did not crack. But what's the thing when you do that? No, sorry.
Getting
old. I was going to try and do a fry.
Getting old. That's what.
Yeah.
He's episode
Get off my lawn,
594.
But check us out at our new old people's home at contextmachine.io.
It seems appropriate. You can also use the old folks home to reach out to us. Again, that's contextmachine.io or on Twitter at contextmachine.
Yeah, you can. I know there's more I'm supposed to say, so I guess I should probably do that. Hey, Brian, did you know today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc?
Do tell. Is it also sponsored by the editing that you're going to make me do?
Yep.
Excellent. Jeff's going to tell you more about ZocDoc later in the show. So I had an idea.
I am always up for ideas.
One, I'm going to throw a Molotov cocktail at the person sitting in the alleyway behind my house with their radio blaring. Two, let's catch up. Let's talk about some of the TV stuff that's relatively new. One of them is not at all new. It's new to me, though. And that's the only thing that matters.
Okay. I was waiting for you to work through that and make a show that dropped in 2015 new. And well done.
Thank you.
Because I know what show you want to talk about.
You turned me on to it. I don't know. Well... Yeah, it just wasn't actually. I mean, like, it was always. I was always aware it was there, but and now I'm very bummed that I was about it because it's great, and it's Daredevil.
And yes,
which and 11 episodes into season one, which came out in 2015, by the way. That's how new it is.
Actually, that means that you have moved into season two. Because season one had 10 episodes. So if you're on episode 11, you're actually season two, episode one.
It was labeled season one, episode 11.
Really? Oh, maybe there's like an episode zero thing.
Well, that would make that one episode 12, though.
They're showing behind the scenes or.
But well, can we take a moment out to note that IMDb perpetually makes the site less useful and easier to navigate. Like it's ever harder to find the information that you actually want to find.
Yeah. And my assumption is that either it's being run by people who just hate humans, or they're sitting around having drinks and, maybe smoking, a little bit of medical marijuana and then laughing and saying, wait. Okay. I bet you $5 I can make this feature even more obtuse.
Yeah.
And then they laugh and then they do it. And that $5 keeps going back and forth.
Right. And season one had 13 episodes.
Really?
I just counted them.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. You're right.
And I'm on episode 11. I think we can do spoilers after all this time.
Except we can't do spoilers for episodes 12 and 13.
Yes, we cannot.
Because you haven't seen those yet.
Because, okay. Right. But the interesting thing is that 11 episodes, I like a show that's not afraid to pace things correctly. And 11 episodes in, he's still not even Daredevil. He's the devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And, doesn't have the costume. Although I'm looking at a screenshot, the key, what do you call him?
Keyframe.
Thank you. The keyframe that IMDb is showing for episode 13, and he does in fact have a daredevil-y costume on. Regardless, the show is fantastic. I'm as we record this, I'm about to leave on a almost a 3-week trip. And I'm probably going to buy this series, even though I can stream them, but because I'm not going to be in the States, I'm probably going to buy them so I can actually take them and have them on the plane and keep watching, because it's just great.
I agree. It is just great. I love that they approached the whole series not like the way they've approached the big screen Marvel superhero stuff. It's this is the gritty on the street level. These are like, I was going to say the normal people, but I mean, you know, we've got a guy that has superpowers, but these are the people that are just living in New York City, and they have to deal with the world that the big name, big screen superheroes aren't even looking at. And yeah. I just think it's cool seeing these people doing their thing and just trying to get by I know it's a weird way to say it, but just trying to get by in the real world.
One does have to spin one's disbelief that all these things are happening without Batman. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong universe. Without Superman or Spider-Man.
Still wrong universe.
Superman. Oh, good Lord. Oh, man. Send me your hate mail. I'm fine with that. Spider-Man or Doctor Strange or, any of the other people who are also in New York City or, you know, whatever unnamed city they're supposed to be in.
It's definitely New York City.
Called New York City. I don't know if they ever call it. They do reference Hell's Kitchen. I don't know if they ever say New York City.
They make it clear they're in New York City.
Yeah, well, it's Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen is a New York City neighborhood. Regardless, one has to suspend one's disbelief that all these things could be happening without all the other superheroes somehow also becoming involved. But that's fine. That's a suspension of disbelief level that I'm certainly okay with. To your point, like, the bad guys are just like bad guys. They're not supervillains. Even the main supervillain, Wilson Fisk, who's the guy who got his start on Law and Order, I think.
It was one of the procedurals, but I don't know if it was Law and Order, but it was definitely one of the procedurals. If only we had a resource available where we could instantly find out, not using IMDb, where, what other shows will, Vincent D'Onofrio has been involved in.
Right. I am looking. It was one of the Law and Order Criminal Intent.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a full
episode. That is not where he got his start. He was already an established actor.
That's a fair point. His first injuries are in 1983.
Yeah. He was an amazing Thor in the babysitter movie. What was that called?
The babysitter movie?
Yeah. Oh my God. And okay. So all seven listeners are yelling at their iPhones right now. The name of the movie.
Sorry, I have all of the things going off.
She has to she's babysitting the three kids, and they end up on this grand adventure, and there's people trying to kill them. And what was that called?
I don't know. I was responding to people. I had phone calls. I had incoming text messages.
Welcome to the Context Machine. I'm Jeff Gamet, and with me today for a brief visit is Brian Chaffin.
You're not like what's new, Scooby Doo. That's not. I don't think that's what you mean. The red sneakers? No. Imposter? No.
No.
Men in Black.
Oh, by the way, he was good in Men in Black. Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh yeah, Adventures in Babysitting. Yeah.
See, the babysitter movie, Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Also, Full Metal Jacket. Holy crap, he was amazing in that.
He was amazing in that. Yeah, I've never actually seen. Oh, good lord, I've never actually seen an episode of Law and Order. But I've seen him in many commercials for Law and Order.
Oh. Which is actually probably more than I've seen of Law and Order. Anyhow. Yes, his acting career started well before that TV show.
Right. He's very good at it, but even he is not a supervillain. He's just a villain. He's a bad human being who is powerful from money and other things, and you know, also knows how to like beat up on people.
Right.
All speaking back to your point that these are mostly like these are real folks dealing with you know, real crime. You know, we should note that. A lot of Stan Lee's characters in particular came into being when New York City was a much darker place than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And where there was tons of, there is still tons of corruption in New York City, like there is in many large cities, but when there was a lot more corruption everywhere, it's a very dark vision of New York City.
Yeah, it is. And okay, so just to expand this out, because there's clearly more stuff you need to see. Getting to see New York City from the perspective of Jessica Jones.
Oh yeah, for sure. Also dark.
Or Luke Cage.
All of them, they're dark. That's the whole point. That was my point. Is that Stan the New York City that inspired Stan Lee to come up with these characters for the ones that he came up with was a much darker place. And I think a lot of the superheroes were born from that darker place.
Also from Stan Lee's desire to make these characters more human.
Mm.
So when you look at the Marvel characters versus DC characters, DC characters basically present as gods, and Marvel characters present as humans that can do extra stuff.
Oh, come on.
Oh, totally.
Not the Avengers. The Avengers are all godlike. Which Avenger is not godlike?
Tony Stark, who's an alcoholic.
Okay, fine.
And a liar.
You're right, Tony. Who else? But he's the exception. He's the one whose money bought his superpowers.
His money definitely bought his superpowers. His money caused his superpowers.
And brilliance.
Let's see. So Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers, godlike.
Yeah, Doctor Strange isn't an Avenger. But Steve Rogers, he would be godlike.
Wasn't he in the Avengers movie? I'm sorry. I accept your rebuke that he was not an Avenger, but he was definitely
like I don't even know you.
I did not grow up reading these.
So, Brian, stuff. I get where you're going with this, but there's a difference in the way you present the characters themselves versus the things that they can do and the way they're perceived. So when you look at Superman is a god. DC presents their superheroes like Greek mythology, and Marvel presents theirs more like weeknight soap operas. So yes, you have these characters that are basically gods, but there's a different mental approach that the publishing companies take towards the characters.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I suppose. I'm gonna stand on the fact that most of the Marvel superheroes have godlike powers. They're certainly magical.
That's not
powers.
The same thing. There's a difference between godlike powers and presenting your characters as gods. And that's the difference. Think about it. Look at Wonder Woman. Look at Superman. Look at
Batman, who is in fact a man, not a god.
Yes, he
and of course he's the exception. Just like Tony Stark is the exception too.
Yeah. Tony Stark is they're both characters that don't. Well, Hawkeye, he's the exception. Another exception. He does not have superpowers. He can just aim really well with an arrow. Let's see.
I've got a different tangent for us.
Okay.
The Ben Affleck movie, the Ben Affleck, John Favreau movie for Daredevil.
Yeah.
Gets a lot of hate. I personally enjoyed it. I thought it was a fine, fun movie. I mention it because the young man who plays Eldon Henson plays Foggy Nelson. And John Favreau played Foggy Nelson in the movie.
Okay.
Eldon's portrayal of Foggy makes me appreciate John. John Favreau is definitely coming to the part as a fan. Because he is a fan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The movie. I did see it. I'm glad I didn't see it in the theater. I'm glad that I was able to stream it, so I didn't even have to pay $2.99 or $3.99 to watch it.
I saw it in the theater. I liked it.
And
I get why people don't, but I liked it. And my only point here is that John Favreau and Eldon Henson are playing the same character.
Yeah, and to me, Eldon Henson is Foggy.
He's fantastic at it.
He nails the character. He's not a fan cosplaying on screen.
What did you think John Favreau was doing that?
He was, but he's also a good actor, so he was able to pull it off.
I think that's way harsh on John Favreau.
Well, my harshness comes from a deep resentment of having lost the time in my life watching that movie.
All right, fair enough. I enjoyed the movie. I get it. Charlie Cox is fantastic as Matt Murdock. Deborah Ann Woll is fantastic as Karen Page. Vondi Curtis Hall is fantastic as Ben Urich. Bob Gunton, long-time character actor, Leland Owsley, another one of the bad guys. He's fantastic. We already talked about Vincent D'Onofrio. He's great as William Fisk. The guy who played his dad in a couple of episodes, as we get like origin stories, Dominic Lombardozzi. He was great little bad guy. The show is well cast and well shot, well written, well acted. Oh, you had mentioned to me a one shot scene that you were telling me that you thought was special.
Yes.
And it is. Now, I think that was in episode 3.
And okay, so the great thing is I didn't have to tell you what the scene was, but when you saw it, you knew what I was talking about. And since we're in spoiler territory, because it's an episode you have seen. For everyone else, we're talking about the hallway fight scene where Matt Murdock has to fight all the guys as he goes down the hall, and they did that as a single shot, single camera, and
yeah, there was a bunch of people and a bunch of crew who had to nail everything. Bunch of stuntmen, bunch of actors. Charlie Cox himself. But do you know, by the way, how much fighting is done by Charlie Cox, and how much is his various stunt doubles?
Charlie does a lot of it. I mean, obviously, there's stuff that he can't do. Probably because of
a lot of falls,
insurance.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stunt falls and. He did a lot of the fight scene stuff.
Do you know if he has any martial arts background?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I keep meaning to try to find like making of stuff and just haven't had the time to do it. He is in amazing shape. When he stands there a lot, you can just see how solid his core muscles are.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the way he stands and just the way his body. The way his body moves as he's not moving. he is in fantabulous shape. And so this series only lasted 3 seasons, unfortunately. I don't know if it came to an end or if it got canceled. Is he coming back? Is Charlie Cox coming back as Matt Murdock?
Well, okay, so... At this point, we're far enough out from Spider-Man No Way Home that it's not a spoiler anymore, because there's stuff in the trailers.
I should watch that.
Yeah, he does show up in that movie. Then there's also the Defenders TV series.
Mm.
And that's all the characters together.
Right.
Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and their mascot, Iron Fist. By the way, don't watch the Iron Fist series.
Oh, okay.
At all. Just don't. Just save yourself. I sacrificed myself through most of that season, so you would not have to.
Oh.
Don't let my pain go be lost or it be in vain.
Thank you.
Okay. So, there was a recent announcement that the Daredevil series is being brought back, and it's going to be called Daredevil Born Again. And it's Matt Murdock, or excuse me, it's Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio. And I'm not sure how many other people from the original cast are going to be there. Or in the show, but yes, we're getting a new Daredevil series. Also, it's no secret because it was in the trailers for She-Hulk. We do see Daredevil, the Charlie Cox Daredevil in She-Hulk as well.
Got it. I guess I'm an episode or two behind. By the way, can I give a cell phone? Let me tell us about ZocDoc. I'll come back with the cell phone.
A cell phone. Sure. I would love to tell you about. Oh, yeah. So, ZocDoc. Yeah. Pretty excited about that. So, let's say that, Brian, you need to go find a doctor and you're just not sure who's the right doctor. And once you find the right doctor, can you get an appointment when you need? I mean, where do you start? Well, the answer to that is ZocDoc. They have an app that you can download on your phone, and then you can find the doctor that fits your needs, and they can schedule the appointment for you. And a lot of times, that appointment can be within 24 hours. So you get vetted doctors, and there are all... rated, so you know, you can make sure that the doctor that you are looking for is the one that's actually right for you, which is totally awesome. And there are patient reviews, so you can see how those doctors have worked out for other people, and you can make sure that your insurance is accepted, and it's all right there, super easy to use. So ZocDoc, it's a free app that shows you the doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. So what you need to do is go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. And like I said, many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ACM. ZocDoc.com/ACM. And hey, thanks, ZocDoc.
Indeed. Thanks, ZocDoc. We appreciate you sponsoring the show. So let me give the cell phone. Mm-hmm. That's self own. I mentioned that I did not like the wedding episode of She-Hulk.
Did it grow on you?
No,
it did on me.
It did not grow on me. And I fortunately noted that I was not, I didn't feel like I was the target market for it, and that I was completely okay with that. And the reason why this is a self-own as opposed to a cell phone is because it wasn't long after that when She-Hulk tweeted, "Sorry, incels, not every show is made for you," or something like that. Did you see that? You saw that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Sorry,
it's
incels.
It's not the official She-Hulk account.
Oh, I thought it was. But
no.
Oh.
No.
Oh, I thought that Marvel actually had the balls to do that.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be incredibly funny. Fantastic. No, Marvel did not do that. It's a fan account, and whoever has that Twitter account, they've done some just wonderful stuff.
Yeah, it was a She-Hulk image with the Marvel Studios logo. And the sorry incels in the She-Hulk logo font look colors. Not all content is made for you. And that's so true. And again, this was after I said I didn't like the episode, but I also did not hate the episode. Because they've got a great point. I'm sick to death. Screw incels. If you're an incel and you're listening to this, I don't think we have any incels listening to us. But if we have any incels listening to us, just stop listening. Just go away. I don't want you. I don't want your earballs. Just leave.
There you go. Yep.
And I am tired of the whining about shows that presupposes the world revolves around people, the person complaining.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And so, can I tell you why this is becoming one of my favorite episodes of the season?
Please do.
It's seriously been growing on me. Yeah. Okay. So when I watched it, I thought it was fun and it was clever and it was a complete diversion from the rest of the season. And I thought, okay, whatever, that's fine. But the more I thought about it, the better it got. Because this was like a character study in Jen and her having to or seeing what she's dealing with emotionally as she accepts She-Hulk and then at times can be disappointed or even jealous because She-Hulk is instantly more popular and liked than Jen is. And having to deal with the whole thing of people liking her when they see her in one form versus another. I mean, that's got to be a hard thing. And you see that playing out for her through the episode and you're like showing up in She-Hulk form and then being told, "Hey, you're showing, or the bride telling her you're showing me up and I need you to not be She-Hulk."
Yeah, all of that was super disappointed, super relatable to me. And I mean, not relatable, super real. And I've seen it, and I don't like that. Like, that's a reason why I hate weddings. So that's why I didn't enjoy it. They did it well. And it just hit too close to home. It pushed too many of my buttons about real people's real behavior that I don't like.
I can totally appreciate that. And there's a lot of bad behavior that we have probably all seen at various weddings that we get to see in this episode. And I mean, Jen is treated like crap.
Yeah.
Through this episode. And I mean, it's uncomfortable and it sucks. But the more that I have reflected on the episode, the more I like it. And I'm feeling right now that it's one of the best episodes of the season.
You know, it probably, it is in so many ways. I stand by, I did not like the episode. I did not enjoy the episode, but the episode was great. I found it uncomfortable to watch. That is probably the most accurate way to assess my thoughts on this. Is it was just uncomfortable to watch.
Okay, to me, that's actually a good thing. That tells me
of course,
that their that. Writing was, yeah, it's okay. That's how the Office was for me, and I'm talking about the original Ricky Gervais.
Oh yeah, so uncomfortable.
UK version of the Office.
Different kind of uncomfortable.
Every episode hurt to watch.
Yeah,
it was so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
And I loved the entire show.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So there was some of that. Emotionally happening during that episode of She-Hulk.
Yeah, fair enough. The show that is actually new and not just new to me is Star Wars Andor.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very, very pleasantly surprised and happy with Andor.
They released
as a recording
just last week, I think. It was released just last week, and it was the first three episodes at once, right?
Yes. And yeah, so as we're recording, episode 4 has been released, but we are so dedicated that we're recording before watching.
Yes. But that's not going to stop us from talking about it.
No, wait.
We're not going to talk about that episode. We're talking about the overall series. Like the feel of the series and everything, it's super enjoyable, and it does have a different feel from the other recent Star Wars TV shows, and even from the Rogue. What's the movie? Rogue One. Thank you. Even has a different feeling from Rogue One. It's just it's gritty and to a certain extent it is smaller, it is more intimate.
Yeah, it is. It like Daredevil, I like that it's the people on the street and they're all trying to get by in a world or a galaxy that just has it out for them.
And we also get to see more of that galaxy. That's one of the things I've enjoyed about the ongoing Star Wars onslaught from Disney, is that we're starting to see more of the world, not just the rebels, like not just the Empire, not just the spaceships, not even, you know, not just like we're seeing more of the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. And yeah, we're seeing people actually trying to make a living.
We're seeing people trying to make a living. And we're also seeing some of the struggles that real people were enduring under this fascist empire.
Mm-hmm.
And, the ways that corruption were not only happening, but the ways that that corruption is affecting people. And that's, you know, that's something that, that, like, you know, Star Wars doesn't really not even come close to addressing. Yeah, you know, if you're a rebel and the Empire is after you, that kind of stinks. But, you know, like, you know, how normal people were affected by that sort of thing that's not really part of that story.
No, it's not. Okay, so with the episodes we've seen so far, one of the things that I'm loving is that the antagonist, the bad guy, if you will, that we have so far, is he really a bad guy? I mean, he's in charge of security for this company, and he's just trying to solve a murder. But from the show's perspective, because he's ultimately hunting our heroes in the show, that makes him the bad guy. But he's not the bad guy.
He is a bad guy. I got an argument against this, because at one point he talks about how corporate security is at the vanguard of keeping order. Doesn't ever really say justice. I think it actually is a couple of times where he mentions justice for the murdered bad guys, mm-hmm. The murdered corrupt bad guys that were harassing our hero in the first place. But talking about corporate security, this is the fascism part, the corporate security mm-hmm. being an important element of effectively keeping people in line. That's where he's the bad guy. And that's where he's real. And that's where he's like, you know, we're seeing all around us people embracing authoritarianism. We're seeing even in mm-hmm. this country people embracing authoritarianism mm-hmm. and people wanting the strong man in charge. We see it in Russia, people wanting the strong man in charge. Bolsonaro in Brazil. He's a bad guy. He's a strong man. He is literally the bad guy. And he has tons of supporters in Brazil, right? Trump mm-hmm. has tons of supporters in the United States. People embracing this idea of you know, retribution and force, and using the state's power to punish enemies. We're seeing that happen around us, and that's what that character represents, in my opinion.
You're right. Yep. I have to agree with that. Okay, so let me rephrase how I am seeing him, because you are right. In that sense, he is the bad guy. Okay, he is not the traditional white hat, black hat, bad guy character you expect to see in TV shows and movies. He is someone that is clearly on the wrong side, but he's doing what he thinks is right, which is, in this case, trying to solve the murder of two other security guards.
Which is the case for the vast majority, if not almost all, people who support the bad guys. They always think that they're actually the good guys. Everyone's the hero of their own story. Everyone believes that their worldview is the not even just the right worldview, it's the correct worldview. Right?
Yes.
People who follow strongmen for a reason. People believe that they have the right to use whatever power they have to make other people fall in line with how they think that people should behave and act and be for a reason. That this is how humanity works. And mm-hmm. we're seeing that at the low level, right? We're not seeing the general. We're not seeing Darth Vader. Well, maybe we'll see people at that level, but we're seeing the local head of security for a corporate work town. Company town.
Company towns.
The company towns, right? We're seeing the local enforcer for the company town who absolutely is a true believer in what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting.
It is. And then you have the good guy who is a criminal. He steals, he kills, and yet he's also the good guy.
Right. And then how about I forget her name. Who's the friend of Andor, the female friend?
Oh, I can't think of her name right now.
If only we did research.
Bix. Her name is Bix.
Bix, thank you. Bix's paranoid, controlling boyfriend who makes very bad decisions because he's afraid.
Which is so natural and normal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so real. Like, and that actor, by the way, does a great job of being the jealous, fearful boyfriend. And I love her. It's probably better.
Yeah. I absolutely believe his character.
Absolutely believe his character. And this show's new enough. There's a spoiler that I don't want to give. I delight in the show for taking his character arc in the direction that they took it. Because I think there's a lot of shows that wouldn't do that.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm looking for his name. Yeah. What's his name?
The actor?
Both the character and the actor. Cause I've got the,
Kyle Soller plays Cyril Cam.
Kyle. Why is he not there? Wait, Kyle. Oh, his headshot. He looks very different.
Yeah.
Right. So that barking dog means that someone is here to pick up Eve, and probably also means that I got to go, got to get out of town.
Oh, well, then, before you go, let me remind you, Brian, that you should go to ZocDoc.com/ACM and download the ZocDoc app for free, and then start your search for top-rated doctor today. And many are available within 24 hours at ZocDoc.com/ACM. ZocDoc.com/ACM.
Fantastic. Let me do this. And that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write to us at contextmachine.io. You can hit me up on Twitter at GeekTales. You can hit Jeff at what, Jeff?
Jay Gamut, basically Gamut, everywhere. Right. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube.
Yep. That's good. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the basis by Boom, recorded just for the show, and that is all for this week. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you, man.
And Brian, I appreciate you too.
This time I get the last word.
That's good.